Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us. We know that God has a word for you on tonight. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I want you to know that I'm excited about what God is doing in the lives of His people. Today, we will go a little bit further in what God is saying. Thank God for traveling mercies. Thank God that He allowed us to travel over the highways to Ohio. Amen. And it was a long trip. Amen. That's a long drive. Amen. But God was with us. Prophetess and I were able to discuss some things and share some things and let the Lord speak to us. Amen. And we come back recharged and we have an understanding of which way we need to go and what we need to do at this point. So we're going to go ahead and move forward, and we're going to have Prophetess Crystal to give us our announcements and lead us in our prayers. So, Prophetess.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. As you know in the announcement, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at our usual station, www.ctkr.org. That's also our website. We invite you there. We also ask that you pray. See God about becoming a prayer partner, vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of the King around the world. Amen. Just want to also let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny have a Facebook page. We invite you to go to our pages there, like us, leave a praise report, prayer request. Someone will touch and agree with you. Amen. Seeking God on your behalf that according to His will, your life will be changed. Amen. Also want to let you know that we are excited. We have sons and daughters that are overseas that need your prayer, your financial support, and other things as well. You could see them through our website, www.ctkr.org. Please pray about pushing them and supporting them so that they can continue doing what God has destined for them to do. Amen? Amen. Those are the announcements for today. Now, let us pray. Father, we thank You. We glorify You, for this is the day that You have made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. And God, as we come before You, we bow ourselves at the throne. We humble ourselves with our ears attentive to Your words on this evening. God, our hearts are pricked. We want to hear what you have to say unto us, the church. Father, help us to obey your word. Walk out your kingdom assignment for each and every one of our lives. Father, speak to us, God, and guide our feet, guide our hands along the path of righteousness in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, even now, put an urgency on the inside of us to complete your will, to take on the seriousness of you coming back again. God, that we will begin to take on the seriousness of this gospel, being able to defend it rightly in the name of Jesus. Father, being able to give every man an answer, which is the kingdom, which is Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We bless you now. We ask even now, as the man of God comes to minister this word, that revelation and knowledge will come, that we will begin to understand what it is that you want us, your people, to hear. And then we will walk out your will in the earth. We thank you. We praise you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. We are so happy that God has given us the ability to minister the gospel to you all. I was sharing with my wife and others. We had really sat down and began to speak about what we consider as a legacy. Amen. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times people do certain things in their lives as a way to set a legacy for themselves. Mm-hmm. They want everybody to see what they're doing and what they have done. So they begin to set up monuments of, looky what I've done. Look at where I've been, and look who I know. Look what I've done. All of this stuff means absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Legacy that my aunt that we went to the funeral for, and I'll speak briefly on this. The legacy that she left was those who are still alive doing the work, amen, in ministry that she taught us to do as it relates to music, amen. Mm. She set a standard. We were speaking about how she and my mother and different other ones would go to noonday prayer. You heard me speak about it before. And this noonday prayer isn't anything like what, you know, people be going through now. They went to noonday prayer and they called on the name of Jesus. They called while they was praying. They didn't talk about what they wanted. They talked about, you know, save our children, protect us in our neighborhoods, save our husbands and our loved ones. And they begin to call out the names of different ones. And what we have is we have people who have become so self-centered in their prayer lives that they're not interceding for anyone anymore. They're not calling out the names of those who are lost before God. You know, we adopted this, that's what they get mentality when it comes down to ministry. Instead of saying, you know, Lord, help us, somebody prayed for me when I was out of the way, they begin to talk about, well, you know, we told them, and they decide to go over there, so that's what they get. Listen, we can't have that as a mentality, and we definitely can't have it as a legacy of those who belong to God, who are called by his name. We're the ones who hope that you get what's coming to you. Amen? Because truth be told, if we got what was coming to us, some of us wouldn't be here now. But God in his infinite grace and mercy, amen. And I say infinite, amen. We know that at a certain point you go from grace to mercy, amen. But mercy is renewed day by day, amen. It's because of his mercies. It's because of his grace, his mercies that we are not consumed, amen. It renews itself, amen. It's you're talking about a regenerative and renewable sources. This is renewable and it regenerates. Amen. And we're so grateful that God would choose to make sure that we're blessed Amen. We're blessed to walk as kingdom citizens. We're blessed to walk as heirs. We're blessed to walk as the beloved. But the one thing I want to look at is that the fact we went and we saw so much, we heard so much, and the testimonies that came back concerning her life and what she had done. We were able to talk to different ones, and they were sharing with us, you know, the impact that the ministry had on their lives. And, you know, we had moved from Ohio to Florida, and there were those who were with us in Ohio when we got back, began to speak to us and share with us, you know, how God had continued to bless them and what was going on in their lives. And it was the encouragement to us. It was the encouragement to us to hear the testimonies. Amen. Because when you're going through and you're dealing with what God called you to do, sometimes you go into different places where the enemy likes to try to tell you, you know, you're not doing nothing. You haven't done anything. Nobody's been impacted by your ministry. You don't have a kingdom impact. There's no kingdom footprint that you have. And just going back for the funeral, we were able to actually deal with those who testify that there was an impact. There is an impact, and it's continuing to impact their lives. So we're grateful for that. I'm grateful for my aunt who's going on, 89 years old. Amen. 89 years old, and people came from near and far to pay their respects. We went from, there's something I didn't know, is that she sang and traveled with Sam Cooke. That was something new that I learned. When she got saved and came into the church, she was traveling and singing with some powerful people out there. So now I know that the vocal training that I learned and the things that were taught to me didn't come from someone who was trying to make it up, but somebody who was skilled and trained professionally in what they did. Amen. Now, let's look at how God prepares us for a legacy that we'll leave behind. God basically gets us to a place where we're so focused on serving him that regardless of what's going on with your physical body, in your environment, in your situations, your circumstances, you don't look at that because you're so focused on God that you're about the assignment that he's giving you and making sure that it's completed. We saw this. There was her grandchildren came up and were talking and began to say different things. And like, we remembered that as she was in, she would be laying down at night and her body was racked with arthritis, and rheumatoid arthritis, and she was going through anguish. She lost the ability to walk and hold things, and in her hands were all deformed and turned in. And she couldn't do too much. A lot had to be done for her because she couldn't do it herself. And one of her grandsons began to speak, and he said, I had a conversation with Grandma, and this is what she said. She said, I have faith to believe that God could heal me of anything. The problem that I had was that I believed that I needed to bear this. She said, because I believe that I needed to bear this, my body went through. But she had faith to believe. If there was something going on, we asked her to pray. She prayed, and when she came back with an answer, it was what she said it was. Amen. I remember many times we went different places, and we need the prayer words to pray in. We need those to intercede and ask God, and they would come back and say, thus saith the Lord. And whatever they said, you could take it to the bank. It's not going to go to the left, right. It ain't going to be slightly off. And maybe you can apply that too. No, it was directly what they said. She had faith to believe in God. And she believed God regardless. Amen. For those around her. And we saw that those around her benefited from her faith. Amen. But she said, I believe I had to endure this myself. So she did. And as she endured it, it taught her some things in life. It helped her to keep her focus on God. Let me go to a scripture here. I want you to see this. Amen. Amen. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Amen. Let's go down to about the 22nd verse. Yeah, there we go. New King James Version. You'll see this also on Mark 6:45-52 and John 6:14-21 verse. Very familiar passage of scripture. I think there's some things that we need to glean from here. Amen. The Bible says here in Matthew 14:22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. Now, notice something here just at the very beginning, at the onset of this, that Jesus made them get into the boat. That means that at this point, he has decided that there's some things that you're going to have to learn by experience. Amen. And I think that we have to understand that God takes us through lessons of life. And every once in a while, you can't just hear the lesson. You have to experience and apply the principles of that lesson. Amen. You need to see that not only can you pray and these signs shall follow them that believe, sometimes you get put in a place where you're going to have to cast the devil out. Amen. You get to a place where sometimes you're going to have to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. There's times when we did not have the ability, or we did not have the the convenience of waiting for a man or a woman of God to show up so that somebody could pray. There's times when you need to pray. Amen. If we go back to the 13th verse and we begin to go down, we see Jesus feeds the 5,000 here. But in the 16th verse specifically, but Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. So here he's teaching the lesson that you guys are so dependent upon, you know, me and everything else, that you're waiting on somebody to supply and do. And you already have the resource. I've taught you, I've trained you, I've given you what you need to be successful. Now I need you to stand up and get to what it is I called you to do. I need your faith to come up to the task. I need your faith, your vision to come up to the assignment. Amen. Too many people are looking at their situations and circumstances and they judge their ability to be successful or to be overcomer based upon their ability to meet it with their means. In other words, when you look at your bank account, then you decide whether or not you can do something for God. Well, guess what? If God needed your bank account to do what he needed to do, then God would have told you, you know, I'm going to increase your bank account so you can do my will. But if he says, listen, I need you to just go do my will, don't bring your bank account to God as an excuse for what you can or can't do. Amen? In other words, God didn't ask you about your resources. He already has that taken care of. Amen? So the 5,000 are fed. He deals with that lesson. And after they're finished eating, the Bible says here in the 22nd verse, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. He knew that they were about to go into a lesson. And hopefully when you are going through a lesson, as some of you are right now, you do not forsake the training and the teaching that you have received. Amen? This is not some time, some distance off from when they had seen this miracle from Jesus, when he told them, don't send them away. You know, you feed them. In other words, you have the ability to handle this situation. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. This is immediately after that. They're still full from the meal that they just ate miraculously. Amen? And it's interesting that some of us can go to church and God can deal with us. And before we can get out the door good, you know, we've forgotten that God spoke to us. We forgot the prophetic utterance. We forgot the instructions from God. Huh? So we have to learn how to hear from him, receive from him, but more than that, retain the knowledge from the lesson. Amen? Huh? So immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat while it's fresh in their mind and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. In other words, don't get frustrated trying to deal with everybody else. Somebody might say something, you might miss the lesson here. I need you to get it, so get in the boat and get over to the other side. Amen. The Bible says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain to pray, by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Amen. And that's how it is that while you're out in the middle of your tests and trials, sometimes you feel like he's not there. But don't worry, he's not far away from you. Amen. He is there. Amen. Sometimes he's waiting on you to get to that place where you understand what's going on. Realize and recognizing that you can't deal with it yourself. You need an advocate. Amen. You need someone who can stand up and plead your case. Amen. You need someone who can clear the throat on your behalf. Amen. Amen. So here he is. He's up on a mountain praying by himself. He's there alone. Amen. But what's going on with the boat? Well, let's look at the 24th verse. It says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And I wish I had time to go into this contrary wind, amen, because I've dealt with this before. But you have to understand that when God gives you something to do, you can't allow people to come into your atmosphere and speak into it, amen. Doubt insecurities and things. The enemy has a way of trying to get you to focus on the maybes instead of the sureties. And the sureties is this. If God said it, it shall be as he said. Amen? When you don't see things going on like you feel like you need to see them, then the enemy says, well, maybe you didn't hear from God. Maybe that's not what God meant. Maybe you stepped out on your own too quick. Maybe you are about to shipwreck. Maybe y'all are all going to drown out here. But see, if you go back to the very beginning, Jesus put them in the boat. You see that? So if Jesus made them get into the boat and then gave them instructions to go on before him to the other side, then that means that during this time of testing and trial, there shall be deliverance that shall come in your life. You can't look at this and say, I'm in the middle of this and it's going to destroy me, when all you have to do is remember. Remember what I said before. The test, the trials, the lessons, the wisdom that you have got, the knowledge that you got have to be applied when you get in the middle of the thick of it. Amen? You can't get out here and become brand new, not knowing nothing, can't figure two things out. Regardless if you got the instructions, it can be tattooed on your forehead and you're looking in the mirror. Guess what? You have to remember, do something to recall and bring back to remembrance the things that God has said about you and your life. It'll help you get through your assignment when you get in the middle of it and it looks like all hope is gone. Amen? So here they are. They're in the boat now that Jesus made them get in. They're in the middle of the sea, going to the place where Jesus told them to go. You see that? But now they're being tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. That means that whatever God is saying to you, don't think that the devil's just going to step back and allow it to happen. Don't think for 1 minute that he's not going to challenge you every stroke of the oar. He's challenging your forward progression. But you have to remain diligent. Amen? Huh? The wind was contrary. Huh? So as they were out there dealing with this, they were fighting to proceed forward to where they need to go. Amen? And some of you right now, you're fighting to proceed forward to where you need to go. Amen? But keep on growing. Amen? Keep on stroking. Keep on moving. Crawl if you have to. Tiptoe if you have to. Whatever you have to do, keep going forward. Amen? 25th verse said, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Isn't it interesting, the thing that you're having a struggle getting through is no problem for God? You see that? 4 o'clock in the morning, here comes Jesus. In the middle of the night, you've been crying all night long. You went to sleep at 8 o'clock because you was trying to get a good night's sleep. Nothing worth staying up for, so you want to go to sleep. And all night long, the enemy's talking. Your mind is going, and you worried, and you're concerned, and all of these other things. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, here comes Jesus in the midst of this mess, walking on the water. You see that? Huh? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. I was speaking to somebody a little bit ago, and I said, listen, sticks and stones may break my bones, and words will never hurt me. Listen, all those things we used to say, all the scary stuff, all the boo, you know, all the rest of that, you know, the enemy has made a mark by simply scaring us when we need to recognize that there is nothing behind the boo. Amen? There's nothing behind the, you know, the jump out in front of you. There's nothing behind it. As a matter of fact, the jump out, the boo, and all the rest of that was all that there was. So the enemy walks around as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. But you have the ability to cast out devils. You have authority over them. How come we're still running and getting scared over every little thing? Amen? Huh? So when we begin to look at this, the disciples now see Jesus and can't recognize him for the fear that they have in their situation. You see that? They attribute him coming to them in the midst of this hardship, in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of this trial right here, this test that they're in, amen? And they begin to attribute his presence to a ghost. The Bible says, and they cried out for fear. You see that? Huh? The Bible says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them. And that's the thing that I want you to understand, is sometimes while you're going through and you're looking at it and you think that there's a problem and you think that you're in it by yourself, the enemy's coming. He's walking around you and trying to get you scared so that your faith won't work. And let me help you out. Fear is false evidence appearing real. That means that there's nothing to it, but he'll bring it to you in such a way that you'll feel that it has validity. You'll feel that it has substance. You'll look at it as if it's substantial. But guess what? God is greater, amen? And the faith that you have is greater than the fear. The problem with it is that fear will cancel out faith. And he knows that, amen? So here he is, Jesus speaking to them, and the Bible says immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. In other words, you know, hey, cheer up, man. Have you ever been with somebody and they're just bound and determined to be in a pity party? I don't know if you've ever been to someone like that or talked to somebody like that. No matter what you say, be of good cheer. You know, they're going to try to find some way to turn it negative because they really want you to believe that it's all of that. Amen. They really want you to believe that is the negative has to stand. They'll do everything in their power to make sure that you hear it and that you recognize it so that you can validate it. But I'm one of these type of people, and I want you to know this now, that if you come to me with a pity party, I will simply turn off the lights, shut down the music, send the guests home, because we ain't having no party here today. Amen. God didn't give me the ability, you know, he didn't give me a pity party mentality. I don't have an anointing for pity parties. Amen. And when I see a pity party, my job is to come against it with the word of God. So here Jesus is dealing with them, and he sees them in the middle of their situation, all doom, despair, agony on me. And the first thing he says is, be of good cheer. In other words, cheer up. Get happy. Yeah, I know that they called you and told you that the lights would be turned off. I know they called and told you they're coming to cut off the water and the gas. I know the landlord came and said, listen, I don't know if I can give you another day. I can't give you another week. You're going to have to do something. I know that your job, you went to your job and things didn't look right, and people are saying, I don't know how this is going to pan out for you. Don't worry about all of that. Listen, if the door shuts one way, ask God for what door he's opening. Sometimes God has to provoke you into a blessing because we don't have enough wisdom to follow him to it. Amen? So we're sitting there. We're trying to get something to happen based on what we want, and God is trying to do something based on his plan and his will for our life. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying to you today. Amen? Huh? So here they are. They're dealing with the situation. Amen. And as they're dealing with the situation, Jesus comes and says, be of good cheer. It is I. And listen, he doesn't just leave it there. He says, do not be afraid. And I'm stick up for Apostle Peter here, because he does something that many think that they're doing, but they really don't have the gumption to do it. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, and sometimes command me to come to you on the water. In other words, I see you walking out a miracle. I see you doing it. But I'm not sure that this is really you doing this miracle. I need some proof here that this is really you. And what he says here, I like to a certain extent. He said, Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you. In other words, I've heard the prophecy. I've heard other people come and say that this is God, and people coming around and saying whatever. I heard all of that. Huh? So if that's what they said, then I need to know that this is you. God sends a confirmation always of his word. Amen? Look what it says here. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, being of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And this is the thing that I like. This blesses me every time. 29th verse says this right here. So he said, one word here, come. Now, within that word come, you have to understand that that word had substance to it. Because every step that Peter would have to make would have to be sustained by that simple one word, come. And sometimes we're waiting on God to give us paragraphs. We're waiting on a sentence. We're waiting on a novel. We're waiting on an instruction manual from God. And God to give us a simple word, go. That's all you're going to get. But then again, that's all you really need. Amen. Because when your faith is in God, then go is enough. When your faith is in what you can do, hoping that God will bless it, then you need a whole bunch more than just that go. Amen? When Jesus said, come, look at the next word. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, which means he heard the word and he acted upon it. Say it with me. Hear the word and act upon it. Say it again. Hear the word and act upon it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. So then you can't have faith in God, which means something that needs to be acted upon, because faith without works is dead. You have to hear the word. You have to act upon the word. And then you'll have works that are alive. Amen. Peter didn't just hear the word come and sit back and say, well, you know, I need somebody else to come. I know that's Jesus. He said it's him. He said it's him. But I need something better. I can see him standing on the water, but we don't know. It might be a ghost. Might be Jesus for real. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't walk out there being a fisherman. And notice this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Being a fisherman, he already knows the properties of the water. No doubt he had been in the water many times while he was out in the sea. Mm-hmm. He already knows that the water is deep. He knows about current. He knows about undercurrents. He knows about all of those things. So for him to, in his environment, thank you, Holy Spirit, in his environment, this is the place where he makes his living. This is the place where he knows how it works. He can read the winds. He can read the stars and the sun. He can read everything. He knows how it feels and what's about to come based on his experience in this environment. And here in this environment, Jesus challenges him and brings him out. Mm-hmm. In a miracle. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love this. So when he had come down out of the boat, showing you that wasn't a little dinghy, he had to come down out of the boat, which means it was a sizable ship. Amen? You see that?
Mm-hmm.
He walked on the water to go to Jesus. That means he came down out of the ship and began to walk on the water that he knew could not sustain him. He began to walk on the water that he knew he should be diving in to swim in. He's walking on the water that has frightened them and terrorized them all night. He's walking on the water that they have been fighting. It is the situation that you have been fighting, you have been going through, that you have succumbed to so many times that now he calls you out to it and tells you, walk on the water. You can make it this time. You have to be able to have faith in the word of God that not only is it about what you know, it's about what you're learning. Amen. You've been in this environment before. Yes, you have. Huh? You know how the water feels when it gets up to your neck. Yes, you do. Huh? You know what it means to fight the elements out there. Yes, you have. This is part of who you are as a fisherman. But guess what? This is something new to you. Because even though you have traversed through it, you have dealt with it, you have got a living from it, now you have to learn how to walk on it. He gets out there. He begins to walk towards Jesus, which means that the miracle worked. The word come worked. You see that? But the Bible says here in the 30th verse, but, and whenever you see this word but, it tends to negate what precedes it. I love the Lord, but. I said, do this, but. See, when you begin to use that word, but, what you're doing is you're going to put something there that will negate the miracle. You see that? The Bible says here, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Remember, I told you that fear cancels faith. You see that? And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Huh? So at this point, you're walking the miracle. The miracle's working. You're doing it. Yes, this is it. I'm doing what Jesus did. And immediately, you get the bill. Immediately, somebody comes and starts talking to you about what happened to some other ministry. What happened to some other Christian, some other person, beginning tell you how the doctor talked to somebody they know, and this is what happened to them. You need to get people like that out of your ear. Amen? Notice it goes back to the wind. Lord, I wish I had time to deal with this. Huh? When he began to deal with anything with the wind, the disciples in the boat, are dealing with a wind that is contrary. Here he's dealing with a wind that was boisterous. You see that? And both times, as they're dealing with the wind, they were afraid. You see that? So here, he's walking, and he begins to see. And I'm so happy as I look at this that it doesn't say that instantly he went into the depths of the sea. It says, and beginning to sink. That means that while he's walking out the miracle, his faith is starting to deteriorate, and the miracle is starting to deteriorate with it. So now where he's walking on the water, now it's getting up to his ankles. Where he was walking on the waters, now it's up to his knee. You see that? And seeing that he was going lower and lower into it, he began to cry out, Lord, save me. And immediately, the Bible says in the 31st verse, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And I think some of us need to go back to some of the miracles that God has caused us to walk out. We need to go back and see some of the things that God has brought us through. Some of the things that people have succumbed to that God preserved you through. Some of the things that have happened to other people that God kept from happening to you. Some of the things that other people had to endure that you never endured. You never had to go through this. You never had to deal with this. You didn't have to deal with the mental stress. You didn't have to deal with the emotional stress, the mental trauma of the situation, because God kept you from the situation. God kept your mind. God kept you. And he covered you. Even though you were in a place where it should have taken you over and you should have succumbed to it, God preserved your life through it. You walked through a miracle. And the enemy comes and tests you again. Here you are now, down the road from that. You've seen the miracles. You've seen the signs. You've seen the wonders. And now here you are in the middle of this, and you start to fail in your faith. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to strengthen our faith. You have to understand that we go through tests and trials not to destroy us, but to process us. And each time you go through a process, it should strengthen you. Amen? If you didn't know God at this level before, after you come out of this test, you'll know him at a different level. Your faith should be at a different level. Amen? We shouldn't be going back, as Hebrews 6 says, to foundational teachings and primary things concerning Christ. Amen? We should be teachers, we need someone to teach us again. Amen? Your faith has to remain. The lessons of your life, you have to retain the knowledge from that lesson. Amen? We can't keep going through the same thing. Listen, God has so much that he's trying to get us to do. There's so much that's attached to your assignment. So many lives, so many nations that are attached to the word that is in your mouth, that you don't have time to be sitting back here twiddling your thumbs and trying to figure out if maybe, or what if. We don't have time for that. Amen? You need to be able to step up and step forward in God. Huh? Your faith needs to be at a different level. Your understanding has to be at a different level. If you are going to remain a child, huh, then you'll find out that life will pass you by. You become now then not just a simple person, but you become a liability. Amen? Huh? See, where we have those who fail to mature and develop, we deal with mental retardation. We deal with developmental disorders. Amen? And some people in the kingdom of God are dealing with spiritual mental retardation. They're formed perfectly, but their mind don't work right. We're dealing with spiritual developmental deficiencies and disorders where you should be at this age able to articulate the promises of God. You find that you are reduced to gurgling and half speaking and, you know, making sounds, but you can't do anything for yourself. Someone needs to do it for you. Amen. We need to learn that God called us to develop. We need to learn that God called us to grow up and mature. That is why he gave us apostles. That's why he gave us prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip, to develop, to mature, that we no more be children tossed with every wind, there it goes again, of doctrine. God is trying to get us to a place where we recognize and realize who we are in him and begin to bring other people out because we came out. Stop making excuses for being in the boat when God called you out of it. And that's where I have to go back to this past funeral. No matter what's going on with Aunt Gladys, she didn't make excuses for the arthritis that had riddled her body to the point where she couldn't hold a pencil or couldn't hold a fork or couldn't walk or couldn't roll the wheelchair. She had to wait for people to move her an inch in the chair that she sat in. She couldn't sit straight. She had to sit at an angle. Muscles in her body had all but gone lethargic. She didn't have any strength in her being. Yet and still, she would sing every once in a while. She always had a praise in her mouth. Huh? Where other people were sitting around mad at God because of what they saw her going through and saying, if she's serving God, how come she's going through this? She never had the complaint in her mouth. See, her faith was, I believe that God can deliver me. But rather than deliver me, just like Paul had a thorn in his flesh, she bore hers and kept on serving God, just like Paul kept on serving. Because God's grace, it was sufficient for her. And God's grace is sufficient for you and I. How dare us stand back and make excuses for bad behavior based on something that we're going through, when people have gone through greater than we have and endured longer than we can. See, those are testimonies to the power of God and his sustaining power for us. Don't let this be something, amen, that comes back that you lack faith in God, huh? And that you fear the assignment. So you refuse to get out of the boat and go to Jesus. She left a legacy for us that we can't forget about. How can I go forward with excuses in my life when I seen that someone persevered and succeeded regardless of those excuses? Now, if you would have seen her, you would have said, well, I understand why she couldn't. Or I understand her point here, or why she should be able to sit back and not do too much. I think Bishop Geer said it best. He said, she's done more with a crippled body than some people who are able-bodied will ever do. And I'm a testimony. I'm a witness to that testimony. I've seen her do so much. When we did choir rehearsals, she would get to the church and open up the door and make sure we got in there. And while we were singing and doing everything else, she would check us and make sure we had it right. And my wife would tell you that our choir and everything else was second to none. We could stand up with 6 to 8 people and out sing 20 to 30 folk. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
See, taught and trained, no excuse. I'm not going to make it tonight. I'm not feeling well in my body. Not feeling well in your body, that's my existence. I bet I'll be at church. And that's how she was. See, we've lost those skills. We've lost that integrity in the body. Any excuse will do today. Are you going? I don't know. Okay, listen. Let's get rid of the excuses and get to the assignment and do what God told us to do. Now, let me finish this up here because I want you to see this. 32nd verse. It says, and when they got into the boat,
mm-hmm.
the wind ceased. you have to understand something. That win was all the debating and craziness that was going on in their lives and in their minds. Sometimes you have to understand that your environment is the product of the words that you speak. I preached a sermon, you are what you speak. And going into that, you have to understand that you will live and die by the words that come out of your mouth. Your wholeness, your happiness, everything is based upon what you speak. You see that? So when your words are of doubt and despair, when everything scares you and you can't see how anything's going to happen, then you'll live a life full of doubt and despair and never can have faith to see how you're going to make it out. You'll always be bound by what you can't see. Now, when you say, Lord, increase my faith, then God begins to take you on a walk where you can't see the next step. But he challenges you to make that step. And when you make that step, you're sustained. He says, step again. You make that step, you're sustained. And when you turn around and look, you've walked miles, not seeing where you were going next. But God has sustained you every step of the way. Your faith then should be increased to the point where when God says do something or move, you can move without having to see the blueprint, see the plan, taking people along with you. Because you have walked through and increased your faith. You have gone to another level in God. Amen? And when you get to the place where he steps in, he deals with that wind. You see that? Immediately when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So here you are trying to validate something with the reason why you can't go forward. And when all you need to do is just, instead of challenging, accept what God has said. Have faith in God. Notice that what he's talking about to them right here is faith. Go on over. And then he comes. And they're afraid. Okay? Now notice that when he was coming, Jesus could have just got in the boat. But Peter challenged and said, if this you, let me come out there. Okay, well, to show you that I'm still in the midst of this, even in the environment, come. Peter gets out to walk to him, and he's walking out a miracle when he begins to sink because he's looking at the wind again. Jesus caught him by the hand after he cried out to him and said, why did you... Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Huh? So when he put him in the boat, the wind stopped. In other words, test is over. And some of you right now, you need to deal with the fact that some of these tests that are going on around you are the people talking around you. Mm-hmm. Every time God says something, they got a different interpretation. Every time God speaks into your life and tells you to do something, they got to, well, you know, if it be me, you know, I wish they would tell me that. It's time for, listen, get those people away from you. You're already walking on the water. And if you, every word that they speak to you, it's a little bit more wind that caused you problems. Amen? Clear the air and clear it with the faith in God. You see that? As you do so, then you'll be able to leave a life that speaks of the faith that you had in God. People will watch you go from here to there and come back talking about how they saw God work in your life. And now, does that bring glory to you? No. That brings glory to God. And again, Ephesians 1:6, we are to be to the praise of his glory. That means that my life is supposed to be a testimony that brings glory to God. You see that? So if they're looking at me and seeing a faith in my life, then they should be able to celebrate Jesus with me. Celebrate the Father. Celebrate what he's doing and what he's done. Have faith to believe that if he did it for me, he can do it for them. That is the most important thing for us to do. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for our life. God has a plan for you, and God has a plan for your life. When you're going through these things, you need to be able to say that I trust God. I trusted him. I trust him all the way. And regardless of what the enemy tries to do to you, guess what? I trust God. When the enemy comes with his negative report, then you can say, I trust God. Isn't it interesting that of the 12 that went over to see the promised land, only two of them had a testimony of I trust God. Here we are, we're moving in ministries, and God is sending us different places. And we'll go and look at a location and say, Lord, is this it? And the people will look and say, ooh, I don't know if we can do that. That looks like that's going to be too expensive. I don't know if we can be able to, why don't we find just something, you know, just something that we can. Why can't we, wait a minute, stop trying to get somebody to give you, you know, a barn with the wind blowing through it so you can say, we got this for little or nothing. Well, if that's what you invested in, what God gave you, guess what? That's what you only see, little or nothing. Huh? How you going to do some work for the kingdom of God and you're afraid to invest in the kingdom of God? How do you demonstrate the power of God when you're afraid to trust in God's power? Let this be something that's never said of us. Oh, you a little faith. Why did you doubt? I celebrate my Aunt Gladys because of what happened, and I saw her happen in her life as she went from being able to walk a little to walk just a little bit or to not walking at all, being able to hold the mic and sing, there's one thing I know, Jesus loves me, and so I will ever trust and praise his holy name. And when she would sing that song, you know, we would have so much power in that church. After she got done singing it, you know, the church would go up in the worship. There was power in what she did. And we live today and remember her service to God. But not only that, the challenges she made to us to have our service to God. I serve today like I do because I was taught and trained to. And she's one of those who was an instructor dear in my life. So we just want to say God bless you to the family and also to her. I know she's in heaven looking down. There was something that was said, and we're going to get into it later. And that is that mantles have fallen. Amen. And mantles fall, but we have to pick them up. Amen. I'll give you more on that at a later time. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I honor you, Lord. You're awesome in all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us, Lord. Help us to focus on the assignment that you have given us. We need to move forward, not lacking faith, but strong in faith, knowing that the enemy of our souls will try his best to bring faith issues up to us. But we will not back down. We will not settle down. We will not shut up. We will proclaim and demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. Thank you for miracles, signs, wonders. Thank you for provision. Thank you for finances and resources being released now in the name of Jesus. Because we go forward to demonstrate the power and do the assignments you've given us to do. We stretch forth for our faith and we touch and agree with everyone that stands with that now in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, there may be some that are not saved. I pray that they pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church. Oh God, that they may be matured, that they may be developed, that they may go on to do the work that you called them to do in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for every soul added to the kingdom. We thank you for every life that's changed, Lord, so that we don't walk by little faith, but we extend great faith towards you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray you'll become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We love you.